You are now at position number one on the plan. And your journey around the cathedral will follow part of the route that might have been taken by the medieval pilgrims, who it's believed initially came in great numbers to visit the shrine of St. Swithin. You will also be visiting as a modern pilgrim to learn about the role of the cathedral today, its history and its architecture, and some of the many works of art that enhance the building.
Three major architectural styles dominate the cathedral. The first is Norman, with its heavy piers and rounded arches. Next, Early English, the first English Gothic style. This has elegant pointed arches and lighter columns, and finally Perpendicular, which you will hear about now. The circumference of the pier you are standing by is 31 feet or 9 metres. It is one of 22 piers that form the arched arcade on either side of the nave, and is a very positive reminder of the evolving nature of the building. The splendid soaring shafts that rise up from it were a major part of the transformation of the nave in the 14th and 15th centuries. Feel the stone pier, and you'll discover that it's made up of round shafts and curved mouldings, which are smooth and well worked. It would be hard to guess that at the heart of this pier lies the core of a Norman pier, which is nearly 300 years older. Evidence of the Norman work can be seen up in the roof. The original stones were either cleverly reworked or cased so that the nave did not have to be rebuilt. However, all this did not happen overnight. After the rebuilding of the choir and presbytery in the early 14th century, Bishop Eddington began a program of redevelopment at the West End. He demolished the then ancient Norman West Front and rebuilt it in the fashionable perpendicular or upright style of Gothic architecture. Eddington's plan was also to transform the nave in a similar fashion, but he had only just begun that work when he died in 1366. The work was continued by his successor, William of Wykeham, and his master mason, William Winford. Wykeham, considered one of the greatest bishops of Winchester, was Chancellor of England and great patron of the arts, as well as the founder of Winchester College and New College, Oxford. The work in the nave was not restarted until 1394 and was still incomplete at his death in 1404. He wrote in his will, dated July the 24th, 1403, "I desire that my body be buried in the middle of a certain chapel by me newly erected on the south side of the nave in the Cathedral Church of Winchester." And his sensitively carved alabaster effigy lies on a tomb chest enclosed by tall stone screens. Wickham's will also contained directions for the completion of the work he had begun.
Above you are tall pointed arches, gracefully made up of layers of moulded or rounded stone. Above the arches is the clerestory, with windows which let light into the top of the building. As you can feel, the pier is made up of attached shafts, each having a very definite function. For instance, the round shaft on the nave side, to your left, supports the stone vaulting high above you. Vaulting is a curved stone roof, and was the only way in which a wide space could be spanned by stone. Use of stone reduced the fire risk, always a threat in a medieval building. Above the stone vault is the timber roof, and this supports the lead work, which makes it watertight. Move round the pier to the right to find the round shaft facing down the nave towards the east. This shaft supports the inner moulding of the elegant arch above you. At certain times of the year, colourful batik banners with bright yellow backgrounds hang above the arches on hooks put there in the 16th century for tapestries to celebrate the wedding of Queen Mary Tudor in the cathedral. These modern banners, made by Thetis Blacker, celebrate the old and new creation as recorded in the Bible. You are now standing in a position between the nave and the north aisle, and you can hear the high, open space of the nave on one side and the more enclosed acoustic of the aisle on the other. The roof of the aisle is lower, so that light can come into the building by the clerestory windows set in the upper part of the nave. The north aisle is part of the processional pathway that runs all around the cathedral. In the aisle, there are monuments from many different ages to a wide variety of people. Some are on the walls, and some, as you will feel with your feet, are in the form of carved ledger stones or slabs in the floor.
Not far from where you are standing is the burial place of the writer Jane Austen, who died in 1817. She is commemorated by a ledger stone, a brass wall memorial tablet, and memorial window above. Isaac Walton, author of The Complete Angler, was also buried in the cathedral in 1683. The font, one of the cathedral's great treasures, is in the arcade between the nave and north nave aisle. It is used for the sacrament of baptism, which marks the entry of a person into the Christian church. This ancient font, square in shape, is made of blue-black limestone from Tournai in present-day Belgium. It may have been presented to the cathedral by Henry of Blois, Bishop of Winchester, from 1129 to 1171, an exceptionally long time for those days. The font is therefore more than 800 years old. The sides have decorative and symbolic carvings on them, including the legends of St. Nicholas.
Now turn away from the pier you were exploring, and with your back to it, walk eastwards to the next pier in the arcade. The distance is about 6 or 7 paces, and this will help to give you an idea of the space between the piers and the distance down the nave. From the pier, turn to the left and take 3 paces into the centre of the north aisle. Turn right and walk straight down the aisle. As you pass the huge pillars, you will hear how they block out the sound of the nave on your right. You'll also pass, on your right, the nave pulpit and some steps leading up to the nave altar and choir level. Towards the end of the aisle is a long wooden cupboard. Go around this to find some open cast-iron gates leading into the north transept. Stop by these.
On the north side of the aisle is the Epiphany Chapel. This chapel, created in the early 1900s, is reserved for private prayer, and you might like to sit in there quietly for a few minutes. You may be able to see the vibrant colours of the 4 stained glass windows, telling the story of the Annunciation and the Nativity. These are after designs by the 19th century Pre-Raphaelite artist Sir Edward Burne-Jones, and made in the workshop of William Morris. These windows contrast with the sombre Norman architecture of the chapel and demonstrate how old and new blend together in harmony to the greater glory of God. Go through the gates and turn left to find a huge Norman pier in front of you. Next, take 4 to 5 paces around the pier to the right to find a rounded shaft. As you enter the transept, you can hear the sound open out into the wide area around you and into high space above you, almost as if it is released after being enclosed in the lower aisle. Switch off now, and switch on when you are standing by the pier.